The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's racing on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:45pm. Ross Briley, John Budden and Sean Quinn will be in the studio. It's a big day of racing as well on Tuesday. It's the opening day of this year's glorious Goodwood meeting. There's also Beverley and Yarmouth in the afternoon, Perth and Worcester over the jumps in the evening, and it's day two of the Galway Festival over in Ireland. Plenty of top racing to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mick Norton. Hi, Mick.
Yes, good, thank you, Mark.
Good. Great week of racing coming up, Mick.
Absolutely fabulous, isn't it? I love all the razzmatazz of the Galway Festival, and we've got the top class racing at Goodwood. Hope we get the weather to match. It's just going through a little corridor of uncertainty, the weather, as we speak, isn't it? And that just makes looking ahead, making sort of plans for the handicaps, etc., later in the week, a little bit ground dependent. So it's a bit trappy with the weather as it is at present, but we'll do our best.
Okay. Before we look ahead to Tuesday's racing, Mick's going to go through most of the races at glorious Goodwood for us on the opening day there, but we're going to do the Monday jury as well. There's the questions in the racing post on Monday as we record this, so we'll start with those. And the first question is, there's not much between Novelist and the five others in the ARC market. What do you make of it, Mick?
Yes, he was very impressive, wasn't he? Novelist beat a good yardstick in Trading Leather, the Irish Derby winner. It's always a fascinating clash of generations, isn't it? And, you know, I think that does give the three-year-old form a lift. They were getting a bit of a battering, weren't they, the three-year-olds, after the Derby form didn't translate to the Curragh. But I think Trading Leather sort of, you know, redressed the balance a little bit. And good performance. Just do King George winners go on and win the Ark these days? They win the Ark and then come and win the King George. Seems to be the way forward now. Like last year's winner, who would win the Ark previous October, then came and won the King George. But that's just a stats thing, isn't it? But I mean, as far as ability goes, he's up there. Everyone who's ridden him raves about him, don't they? And I mean, the fact that Johnny Murta crawled over broken glass to get the ride on him, it tells you everything you need to know. Al-Kazim, he's a very high-class horse, and I don't think we'll see the best of him until he gets over a mile and a half. Just they're playing it down a little bit, aren't they? They want to really get the Irish Champion or the Judmont they're going for now. It was going to be Irish Champion Arc, but wasn't that getting a bit close, isn't it? So it looks like the Judmont now, so we might see him at York next month, which would be very interesting. But whatever, anyway, and of course we mustn't forget out the Intello, etc.
Yeah.
So it's building up to a nice quality renewal, and that's great stuff with a nice generation clash. I think I'll sit on the fence for a bit as regards that, but I do think Novelist is right up there with the very best of them.
Okay. Novelist currently the 5-1 joint favourite with Flincher at the moment. Al-Kazim, Intello and our favourite are all 6-1.
Yeah, Flincher was very impressive in the Grand Prix de Paris, which is a good art trial, isn't it?
Yes, but still plenty of time to figure it out. I think we've got a few weeks yet, haven't we?
So
we'll revisit that.
Absolutely.
In due course, the next question, is Mukadram a future Group 1 winner, or might he fall short at that level, Mick?
I don't think he will, actually, Mark. I think he won despite on Saturday at York. I think there was two hard races against Al-Kazim at Royal Ascot and the Eclipse that had taken the toll on him. And he wasn't quite the same horse visually as I'd seen him before. He was very warm and agitated down at the start. I don't know if you noticed him in the race. He almost completely lost his action, got on the wrong leg coming out of the far turn. Hannigan had to sort of snatch him up, get him balanced, get him on the right lead. He just seemed to lose his concentration. I think the horse was a bit punch drunk after those two hard battles against Al-Kazim. And don't forget, he got a bit of a beating up at Sandown, didn't he, when he nearly got knocked over the rails by Al-Kazim. I think forget the run. He's got the Group 2 which he thoroughly deserved. And I think he'll have a nice 6 weeks break now and then come back for something like the Irish Champion or whatever. But yes, he's definitely a group horse in the making. The phone book tells you that. The performance on Saturday, just forget about it. He got the job done. And I also think it paying scant to regard to the runner-up's performance, who is a decent enough horse in his own right. But I think the horse won in spite of himself on Saturday, and he did it the hard way as well, made every yard the running, and despite the race not really panning out for him, with him losing his action and etc. on a very hot, sultry day, with those two hard races to make it more difficult for him, I think it just showed the measure of him. And when he comes back fresh, you'll see a better horse.
OK. How do you see Wednesday's rematch between Dawn Approach and Toronado turn out, Mick? It's going to be a thriller either way, isn't it?
Same result as always, Mark. Dawn Approach will beat Toronado any trip from five furlongs to 5 miles. He just keeps doing enough, doesn't he?
Yeah, so you're sticking with Dawn Approach then?
Yeah, sticking with Dawn Approach.
OK, simple as that. We'll look forward to that later on in the week. Who do you like in Goodwood's big handicaps, the Betfred Mile and the Stewards' Cup?
With the weather being as it is, uncertain, it's very hard to call, isn't it?
Mm.
In the mile, if it rains, if we get a wet Friday, Cape Perron, who was taken out of a race at Ascot the other day because the ground was too lively for him, he must have juice in the ground, highly regarded by Henry Candy. If it's wet, I'd be with Cape Perron. And of course, you've also got the factor in the draw, so it's, you know, we're shooting in the dark a bit, aren't we? And In the stewards, I like Heaven's Guest. I think he's a sprinter on the top of his game. Another good performance last time, and I think that he's going to carry on, you know, improving for a bit yet. And I know he's highly regarded at his by the Fahy team, and I'm sure a big run's expected. Yeah, I don't think he'll get into the race, but I was very impressed with Picture Dealer's win at York on Friday. He came from last to first. He's going to carry the same penalty. I don't think it'll be enough to get him into the bottom of the Stewards' Cup, but it might be no bad thing, that, because it will mean, Mark, he'll get into the consolation race near the top.
Yeah.
And that means George Baker will be able to ride him again.
Yeah.
And this is a horse who needs a seriously strong pace to aim at, which he got at York, came from last to first at York, and he'll get it at Goodwood as well. I don't think he'll get in the big one. I think it'll be a blessing in disguise if he doesn't, but Picture Dealer for the Consolation Stewards' Cup.
OK, good stuff. Another easy one, Mick. Give us the winners of the Galway Plate and Hurdle.
Yeah, well, I'm going to keep it simple, as I think Dermot will win them both. I think Rock Critic in the Hurdle, and Majestic Concord, who had a warm-up spin on the flat the other day, for the Plate.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But again, we're a bit in the darkest of how the weather's going to behave, aren't we? So, but yeah, we'll probably revise those opinions near the time, but no, it's Dermot's week, and let's keep it simple.
Yep, at the moment, stick with Dermot. Give us an under-the-radar horse or horses to watch out for over the coming weeks, Mick.
One under-the-radar, one out in the open, really. Both horses I saw run at York at the weekend. I was working at York at the weekend doing the paddock, and I thought that Master of Finance, who made his debut for Mark Johnson in the maiden two-year-olds on the Friday, now his stable companion, for some reason which quite beyond me on paddock appearance, the one that made favourite, the name escaped me, but he was so backward and dozy in the paddock, and I said, I think I said on my paddock commentary, I said we might not see the best of him until he wins the Queen's Vase at Royal Ascot next year. But the other horse, Master of Finance, the one I'm talking about, he travelled really well into the race, and we travelled the best horse in the race for most of it, just got a little bit tired close home. Franny Norton looked after him. I think he'll repay the kindness in the not too distant future. And the other one was Saturday's two-year-old debutant winner, Hot Streak. Kevin Ryan had won the race 12 months ago, and he'd sent out another well-regarded newcomer. Travelled well, was well back, was never going to get beat at any stage, making Rudin with the utmost confidence. I wouldn't be surprised if they throw a Group 2 entry in the Gymcrack next month to him. But if they, which will obviously make life more difficult. But if they do swerve that and go for a novice or something, he's a horse to follow. That's for certain. And he could well be a group horse. Whether the Jim Crack will come just a bit quick for him, I don't know, because he hardly had a race the other day against that opposition. But he's obviously very talented.
OK, good stuff. That's the Monday jury for another week then. And we can now look ahead to Glorious Goodwood. First day of the meeting this year is coming up this Tuesday, and we're going to look through some of the races there. We've got betting for the first four races as well on site at the moment. The rest will be added probably when this is published, so keep an eye out for those. We're going to start in the 155 though, and this is a big handicap over a mile and one furlong, and the betting is headed by Fast or Free as we record this mix, 6-1.
Interesting. It's on my shortlist. Mark, I've kept again. I've swerved the difficult draws. I've got four on my shortlist, and the highest drawn of them is Fast or Free. It was in 11, which is okay. You can win around there. Middle is good. You can be drawn too well at Goodwood. He's drawn in the middle, and that's not bad. Yeah, and he's got plenty of form fresh. I've seen this horse in the flesh, and he, the way he completed that hat-trick with that win at Royal Ascot in the Britannia was, it looked like a future group horse, didn't he? Whatever befell him, I think, could well be a blessing in disguise, if you like, that he's still a handicapper. Because if he'd carried on from where he left off in the Britannia, he'd be a group horse by now, wouldn't he? And yet he's got in here off 96. And William sent out a similar horse after a similar, well, not as lengthy an absence, but similar profile in as much it had shown blags of ability, hadn't been seen since In Our Obsession, who Frankie rode to victory for the stable on at York on Saturday.
Yeah.
So I think that augurs well for Faster Free's chances. Yeah, definitely got to go on the shortlist. The other two or three on there, Blue Surf, who ran well at Royal Ascot in that mile and a half handicap, but that just looked too far. It's a course and distance winner here at Goodwood, and coming back in trip will suit, could be one for the locals. Pat Dobbs riding for Amanda Perrett, a good draw as well, and the other two are two from the north. Clombrolet from the David Baron Yard has got his horses in great form. Phil Makin taking the ride, excellent fifth to Dan Shine, the John Smith's Cup last time. That's really strong form, that John Smith's Cup form. And he's sure to make his presence felt again. And the other one, you can never leave him out in these sort of races, or his trainer's runners at Glorious Goodwood, Mark Johnson's Fennel Bay. Loves these big competitive handicaps. Bounce back to four. Below par run at York, that's not surprising. Mark only operates at a 5% strike rate at York. For some reason, I just don't know what it is. But that third to Vasily and Nottingham last time should have teed him up nicely for this. So there you are, four of them to have a look at. I mean, there are plenty more. I mean, it was. I just started the process elimination by keeping two workable draws. So there may well be something there I haven't even spoken about. In fact, Nabucco missed the John Smith's Cup, didn't he? It was my fancy for that. He hasn't fared so well with a draw in 17, otherwise he'd have made the shortlist. So it's a cracking opener, and I'll have Faster Free on my side, and little savers on probably the others with four places to aim at.
Okay. The second race is a Group 3 sprint. This is over five furlongs. It's for two-year-olds, and it's the Morecambe Stakes, and the betting looks like this as we record this. Supplicant is the 11-4 favourite. Anticipated 100-30. Reroute is 9-2. Ambiance is 11-2, and then 10-1 or bigger the rest. How do you see this one going, mate?
Yeah, well, the Windsor Castle is the key race to this, and you've got Supplicant, who is a close-up second in it. Fair enough. I don't have a problem with that. But I'm going to go for a horse who ran in the Windsor Castle, didn't finish in the first three, but chased the pace on the far side. They went far too hard, and I don't think we really saw the best of it, and that's Justice Day. And what price is he in the betting market?
Justice Day is a 14-1 at the moment.
Well, considering the way the race panned out, for the all the action was down the side. All the anticipated Supplicant, yeah, they were all down this side, and Justice Day was over on the far side. And I think Well, he was just out in the wrong place.
Yeah.
I mean, he couldn't run his race from there. I think it's a tremendous price at 14-1. So wherever the others are, you're going to be on top of them with a more favourable draw. Mm-hmm. The winners, the first three home. You look at the draws of them compared to the draw. He was drawn sixth. I think the winners were all in double figures.
Yeah, 28, 27, 20, and 12.
Well, there you are. That tells you the story, doesn't it? So there you are. Let's keep that one simple. Just to stay each way. I can't see that not being involved.
OK, good stuff. On to the third race then. This is another group race. This one is the Group 2 Lennox Stakes, which is for three-year-olds, and it's over the 7-furlong trip. And Al Jammer here is the favourite at the moment as we call this, at 5-2. Producer 5-1. Fencing sixes with Garswood. And there's been a bit of money for Garswood as well. Sevens into sixes. Casper Netcher is sevens. 9-1 for Professor. 12-1 or bigger price as the rest.
Yeah, I'm a big Garswood fan, Mark. He ran well at Ascot, didn't he? I did like Garswood's run at Royal Ascot. Well, I thought he was a slightly unlucky not to finish a bit closer, actually.
OK.
And I think this represents a good opportunity for him. So we'll stay with him.
OK. Garswood, and there has been market support, which is always nice to see as well.
So. Yeah, I think they've got him back to his best. I mean, the way, if it's the same horse who won the free handicap turns up, yeah. that will do for me. Now, there's nothing wrong with the run at Ascot. Just a little bit below par. I didn't think the fire team were in the best of nick around that time, but they've seemed to have, you know, turned that little corner.
Yeah.
And they seem to be on the way back now.
Okay. The fourth race is another one of the big races on the day. It's the Summer Handicap, which is a Class 2 handicap over a mile and 6 furlongs. Oriental Fox is the 9-2 favourite. Silver Lime, 6-1. Duke of Clarence, 7s. Clarence Estate is 8-1. Montessor is 10s, or Mantassa rather. And then 12-1, or bigger price is the rest.
Yeah, three I like here in race card order. Guarantee, another William Haggis runner, filmmaking on board. I think Phil rode him at York when I saw him there. Oriental Fox, sure to be there or thereabouts. Absolutely mullered in the Northumberland Plate, wasn't he? Went up £4 of that, which I think is fair enough, considering that the quality of the run. And Clarence Estate, who just lack a little bit of experience, but I know our colleague Ross Briley was raving about the time that this horse produced on debut, and He didn't think that we'll see the best of this horse till he gets over these sort of trips. So he's a fascinating, lightly raced candidate here. Graham Lee is coming for a plum ride there on Roger Charlton's yard. Guarantee, he was very progressive at three, winning the Melrose. And that was a good run at York last time. And I think he'll be thereabouts. And, well, Oriental Fox certainly deserves one of these. And he'll give it his best shot as well. So, but plenty of others with chances. Duke of Clarence comes into it in good form. Knows his way around here, course and distance winner. But he's £6 higher in a much tougher race than what he has been running in of late. So it's another fascinating contest. But I'll have those three running for me. Guarantee, Oriental Fox and Clarence Estate.
OK. The other three races then, Mick, we've got a maiden and two Class 3 handicaps, one over a mile and one over 5 furlongs. Anything catch your eye for those races?
Well, I've gone the maiden two-year-olds, Mark, with not having much to go on.
Mm-hmm.
The three with experience a fair level of form, Brazos, Lynn Valley and Sasha Park are all drawn very close together, 11, 12 and 13.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that will tee up the race. You know, that their experience, those three together, will take them along. And unless there's a smart newcomer in the race, I think it'll probably be one of those three that come out on top. And I like the booking of Brazos for Clive Britton's runner, and he might be the one to take advantage. Although Sasha Park, he's another one who's, you know, he was six in that Windsor Castle. So if you know, if we were right about the other race, he could end up, you know, having a very solid look about him, couldn't he, Sasha Park? If our assessment of the previous two row contest, the Malcolm, is anything to go by, so Yeah, just keep an eye on the outcome of the Mocum, and then if he wins it, then it could make the Richard Hughes mount something of a four but good thing, couldn't it?
It could, yes. So keep an eye on Justice Day and Supplicant in the 2:30 and see how that pans out.
Yeah, it could be a good little link there.
Mm-hmm. And the other two handicaps, Mick, out in those two?
Where are we up to now? 450?
Yep, 450 and 525, the last two on
there. That many notes here, so no wonder I lost some, is it? Yes, there are three on the shortlist for the 450. Jack's Revenge, who finished third in this last year. He comes here looking as though they've had their eye on this for a while. He ran better than it would suggest the race at Newbury last time. Although, having said all that, he's not as well drawn as he was this year. In fact, curious enough, the 1-2-3 reopposed in this Uppercut, who of course won it last year. Bank Noana Eran, who was second, and Jack's Revenge back in third. Neither of the three are as well drawn this year. So again, I'm going to keep it simple-ish and go for one with a workable draw. 11 is quite a good draw for these sort of races, and Mark Johnson steps Desert Revolution quickly up in class here, taking on his elders, and interesting that Joe Fanning is on board him rather than the rock-solid form horse Copper Wood, mm-hmm. who can be relied upon to give his running. So interesting that, and Mark Johnson usually does well at this meeting, so in a trappy enough race, which he's next door to impossible, I'll stay with the 3-year old Desert Revolution.
Okay.
And the final one, we've got a 5-furlong handicap. I've got three on the shortlist here. Lady Gibraltar, who usually gives her best in these sort of races. I saw her run at York on the last two out of her three starts, and she ran really well. Looks as though she's in great form at the moment. And she's a course and distance winner here at Goodwood, which is never a bad thing to be.
Mm-hmm.
Hamoudi comes here in good form. He won this back in 2010 off a £2 lower mark. So David Nicholls booked his old pal Franny Norton to ride. I know he's got that £6 penalty, and he picked up the penalty for winning non-handicaps. But I don't think with David's record at Goodwood, he should be dismissed. And the other one, the penalised runner, is Lost in Paris, who looked really back to his best at Catterick last time. The £6 penalty still gives him a well handicapped look because he's won off higher in the past, and Tim Easterby's booked Ryan Moore to ride. So if you narrow me down to one, I'd go with Lost in Paris. I think it could be a very good day for the North.
Mm, yes, it could, couldn't it? Good stuff, Mick. We've been through quite a lot of runners and a lot of races there. So if I were to get a nap and a next best off you, what would those be for the day?
Well, I think from a value point of view, Mark, I think that Justice Day is ridiculously overpriced in the Morecambe, considering the Windsor Castle looks the key race to it.
Mm-hmm.
And arguably Justice Day was too badly drawn to do itself justice, yet still around with plenty of credit considering what happened. And I think around 14-1 that could be the each way bet of the day.
Okay.
If they've got fast or free, I'm sure he will be teed up for this. He's a fascinating, I think he's a group horse. We thought that when we saw him at York last year, and nothing's happened to change my mind about that. And if he hadn't had his injury after the Britannia, I think he would be running in group races now. So he's a fascinating one, and it's just a really good open day to the whole meeting. I think I'm not sure it's a day for going in head down and naps. I think it's have two or three running for you at half decent prices, and hoping you can hit the frame with a few of them.
Okay,
is that kind of day, Mark?
Yeah, competitive stuff. Should be exciting stuff. Thank you very much, Mick. Enjoy it on Tuesday.
Yeah, certainly will, Mark. Thank you.
So there you go then, the thoughts of Mick Norton on day one of this year's glorious Goodwood. You'll hear the action from that and the rest of the day's racing as well. There's Beverley, Yarmouth, Perth and Worcester alongside glorious Goodwood domestically. It's also day two of the Galway Festival as well. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:45 p.m. with Ross Briley, John Budden and Sean Quinn in the studio. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.